Welcome to Cornerstone Baptist Church. My name is Chanel.
And my name is Duncan. And we are both really glad that you can join us for worship this morning.
Thank you to Hannah and Gid for another Zoom into church.
This morning, our sung worship will be led by Ed and Sophie.
We will have a children's talk from Heather.
Matt will be bringing us God's Word.
And we are really looking forward to having an interview from Claire King.
So let's join together in worship
as we sing our first song, In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Thank you. 'cause I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Wind strong and water steep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas. 'Cause your love never fails. Was far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. But your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Thank you, Jesus, that your love never fails.
Thank you, Jesus, that your word says that nothing can separate us from your love.
Thank you, Jesus, that you are always there for us.
Even when we mess up.
Let's find out what Heather has to teach us in today's children's talk.
There are lots of amazing things about the world. The oceans, the mountains, the lakes, the people we love, and of course chocolate. But there are lots of sad things, like wars and pain and famine and disease. I'm going to read the story from the Bible, Genesis 3, that tells how the sadness and the pain came into the world. Adam and Eve lived happily together in their beautiful new home, and everything was perfect for a while, until the day when everything went terribly wrong. God had a horrible enemy. His name was Satan. Satan had been the most beautiful angel, but he didn't want to be just an angel. He wanted to be God. He grew proud and evil and full of hate, and God had to send him from heaven. Satan was seething with anger and looked for a way to hurt God. He wanted to stop God's plan, stop his love story right there. So he disguised himself as a snake, and waited in the garden. Now God had given Adam and Eve only one rule. Don't eat the fruit of that tree, God said, because if you do, you'll think that you know everything. You'll stop trusting me, and then death and sadness and tears will come. You see, God knew that if they ate the fruit, they would think that they didn't need him anymore, and they would try to make themselves happy without him. But God knew there was no such thing as happiness without him, and life without him wouldn't be life at all. As soon as the snake saw his chance, he slithered silently up to Eve. "Does God really love you?" the serpent whispered. "If he does, why won't he let you eat that nice, juicy, delicious fruit?" "Poor you. Perhaps God doesn't want you to be happy." The snake's words hissed into her ear and sunk deep into her heart like poison. "Does God love me?" Eve wondered. Suddenly, she didn't know anymore. "Just trust me," the serpent whispered. "You don't need God." "One small taste, that's all, and you'll be happier than you could ever dream." So Eve picked the fruit and ate some, and Adam ate some too. And a terrible lie came into the world, and it would never leave. It would live in every human's heart, whispering to every one of God's children, "God doesn't love me." And it wasn't a dream. It was a nightmare. A dove flew from Adam's hand. A deer darted in a thicket. It was as if they were frightened by something. A chill was in the air. Something strange was happening. They had always been naked, but now they felt naked and wrong, and they didn't want anyone to see them, so they hid. Later that evening, God was taking a walk, and he called, "Children!" Usually Adam and Eve loved to hear God's voice and would run to him, but this time they ran away and hid in the shadows. "Where are you?" God called. "Hiding," said Adam. "We're afraid of you." "Did you eat of the fruit that I told you not to?" God asked them. Adam said, "Eve made me do it." "What have you done?" God asked. Eve said, "The serpent made me do it." The terrible pain came into God's heart. His children hadn't just broken the one rule. They had broken God's heart. They had broken his wonderful relationship with him. And now he knew everything else would break. God's creation would start to unravel, come undone and go wrong. From now on, everything would die. Even though it was all supposed to last forever. You see, sin had come into God's perfect world, and it would never leave. God's children would always be running away and hiding in the dark. Their hearts would break now and never work properly again. God couldn't let his children live forever, not in such pain without him. There was only one way to protect them. "You have to leave the garden now," God told his children. His eyes were filled with tears. "This is no longer your true home. It's not the place for you anymore." But before they left the garden, God made them clothes to cover them. He gently clothed them and he sent them away on a long, long journey. And out of the garden and out of their home. Well, in another story, it would all be over and that would be the end. But not in this story. God loved his children too much to let the story end here. Even though he knew he would suffer, God had a plan, a magnificent dream. One day, he would get his children back. One day, he would make his world perfect again. One day, he would wipe every tear away from their eyes. You see, no matter what, in spite of everything, God would love his children. With a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. And though they would forget him and run away from him, deep in their hearts, God's children would miss him always and long for him, lost children yearning for their home. Before they left the garden, God whispered a promise to Adam and Eve. It will not always be so. I will come and I will rescue you. And when I do, I'm going to do battle against the snake. I'll get rid of sin and the dark and sadness that you let in here, because I'm coming back for you. And he would. One day, God himself would come. So, if we imagine that this egg is the perfect world that God created, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit and disobeyed God, it was like the world was being broken. A bit like me smashing this egg. The world was still a good world, like this is still an egg. But the world was broken, and I can't mend it, and we can't mend the world. The good news is in this sad story, and it comes right at the end, God promised that someone would come and rescue us and mend this broken world. God would come back and get rid of all the sin and darkness and sadness. And that's very good news indeed.
My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. Have you heard the story about my friend King Dave? Let the giant stand in his way. He said, hand me my sling, cause he's not that tall. My God is bigger and I'll watch him fall. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. Have you heard the one about the guy called Dan? Yes, he was a mighty holy praying man. They said thrown to the den of the scary beast, but God saved a hero from the lion's teeth. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. More than history, he will do the same for me. Like Jonah in the whale at sea, when I'm lost and afraid, alone in the dark, you're with me. Oh, you're with me. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me.
Hi, I'm Kevin. I'm your buildings manager here at Cornerstone Church in Headingley. It's my turn to read the prayers. Father God, we pray for a peaceful transition of power in the USA. We ask that the peacemakers are heard. We thank you for the hope, the news of a new vaccine for COVID-19. We ask that this will be rolled out to those who need it the most. We ask that the vaccine is safe and that it provides the protection for this disease. We pray for those who are on furlough at this moment across the country, and particularly for those from this church. We lift up those who are experiencing loneliness at this time, or impacted in other ways by this second lockdown. We praise you, Lord, for the joyful news of Cheryl and Peter's marriage. We ask that you will bless them and help them in their new life together. Father God, thank you. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading will be from Genesis 2, verse 25, and Genesis 3, verses 1 to 13. Now, the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day, he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat." God said, "You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied, "and that's why I ate it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to the Lord.
Well, today I'm speaking to Claire King, Claire from the Crag Gathering, and Claire is also my mother-in-law, if any of you don't know that already. Welcome, Claire.
Thank you.
And thank you for letting me ask you some questions about your front line. Okay. The first question is, what will you be doing this time tomorrow on your front line?
This time tomorrow, I should be going into Leeds with a young man that we have living with us at the minute, a young unaccompanied asylum seeker, to try and help him to open a bank account. So that's my front line tomorrow.
Okay. And do you have any idea how long this young man might be living with you?
Well, the young man who I'll be taking tomorrow has only just arrived, so he's been with us for a week, and we've had two previous asylum seekers living with us, and one is still with us, and he's been with us for 3 years now, and the other one lived with us for 2 years, and he's now moved on into his own accommodation, so possibly 2-3 years.
Fantastic. Okay, and one thing that I know about you is that you have had various different front lines in your life. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what your front line used to be, because it's what I'm thinking of especially is very different to what you're doing now. So how would you answer that? What did your front line used to be?
Well, I suppose thinking about my life over the years, when I became a Christian when I was 19, 20, when I was at college, and the first few years were developing and getting to know my God, personally. And then when Jeff and I were married, we had a family, and when I became a mother, that very much became my front line. My children were my front line. They were my primary mission field. Mm. If God has granted me the pleasure, I mean, has blessed me with four children, that they became my primary mission field. Not that it's my job to convert my children, but my job was to prepare them and to give them all the tools that they needed, so that when God spoke to them as individuals, they had the reasoning and the understanding to accept them or not for themselves as their Lord and Saviour. Yeah,
that's fantastic. Thank you for all your help so far. We are nearly finished, actually. But okay. can I just check, if people know how to contact you, are you willing, if people would like to find out more about anything specifically that you've said, for example, the unaccompanied asylum seekers and the fostering there, or the raising of children in the way that you have?
Absolutely, yes, that's not a problem at all.
Fantastic, yeah. Thank you very much. And I suppose just before I pray for you, because I'd like to say a short prayer in closing, I'm aware that there might be one or two verses that have meant a lot to you as God's been speaking to you throughout your life about your front lines. I don't know if you have perhaps a favourite or a couple of favourites.
I suppose my go-to one was one that spoke to me as a very young Christian, and I was pinned on the kitchen wall, was trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So the fact that I needed to trust not on my understanding, on what I thought to be right, but what I needed to find out what God wanted me to do, and then to trust him, basically, and to do what was right, and then he would direct my path. And I have to say, he's done that over the years for me. It's been amazing. That's my favorite, I think.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. And are there any particular ways, just briefly, that we as a church can pray for you at the moment, especially regarding your front line?
Because this young man who we have is new to the system, over the next few weeks, I'll have more meetings than I would normally do once they're settled, with the rest of the support team. So with social workers and, all the other people, that the teachers at his college that he's at, and with the bank officials tomorrow to be able to try and work that through, the medical staff that we'll be in touch with. So all of these people who I won't be able to speak to directly about my faith, but I need to live my life so that they wonder what's different. So to be able to do that would be great.
That's really good. And it's helpful to remember. That's a helpful reminder to me that the way we share the love of Jesus can't always be in word. So
absolutely, yeah.
It's helpful to hear about how you live your life as a model that points to him in as much as you can. So I'd love to say a short prayer for you now, and then I'm trusting that the rest of the church will know how to pray for you themselves now from a more informed perspective. Okay. So I'll just pray to wrap up.
Okay.
Father, thank you so much for Claire. Thank you for this snapshot into her life and how you've led her and spoken to her and called her to serve you in different ways. Lord, we especially pray that the young man who is living with, the new young man who's living with Claire and Jeff would settle in well, that all would go well at the bank and with the various aspects of his life that they need to look at to help him settle. Lord, please bless this transition and please help Claire especially to know how to model your love, particularly when she can't perhaps name you or explicitly speak about you. So Lord, please give Claire wisdom and please help her continue to be the person you've called her to be on her current front line. We ask this in Jesus' name and we thank you for all you're doing. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Claire, once again, thank you very much for your time. It's been really great to interview you, and it'll be great to continue to over time hear more about how God's using you on your front line.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, that's better. Good morning, everybody. I hope you can hear me okay now. If you have a face mask nearby or somewhere at home, please could I ask you to go and find it? You will need it in a moment or two, in a few minutes' time. And whilst people are finding their face masks, just a quick plug for the Nativity service, which is happening on the 20th of December. In the pastoral letter that went out on Friday, there was some information about this. And if you have any children of school age in your home who would like to be involved in the Nativity service, please read the pastoral letter and respond accordingly to what it says. The title for the message this morning is a bit similar to the Karate Kid, you know, wax on, wax off. Well, I had that on backwards, I think. Today it's mask on, mask off. Thank you if you found your face masks. I will let you know when you need them. Don't worry, you won't need to put them on. Most of us will be used to wearing masks right now, and although I understand the science behind it, I still don't like the fact that, you know, we have to wear these masks. The first time I wore one, I actually felt like I didn't have a voice or even a face. I don't know if that sounds strange to anybody, but it's true. Wearing one does not come, it's not a natural feeling, shall I say, but we need them in order to help keep one another safe at this time. So that really is the mask on part of the message. And there will be a prayer about face masks later that was in the pastoral letter, but I thought it would be good to say together. But what about the mask off part? That's where most of this message is going. I reckon most of us wear masks far too often. So much so, we probably don't realise we're doing it. I'm not talking about face masks here, but the masks that we wear when we pretend all is well. How often do we do that? What I see in Genesis 3 is a God of love who cares about the fact that the people he loves are choosing to mask themselves. They're trying to hide from him. They're trying to cover up where they're at. They're trying to cover up what they've done, really, as well as their nakedness. So they're masking themselves. And there are some interesting questions in Genesis 3. One of them is the first question recorded in Scripture, and it comes from Satan in verse 1, and it is laced with deceit. He says, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat of any tree in the garden'?" He was trying to trick Eve and Adam, to entice them into disobeying God. And when they did, things didn't go well at all for them. Read the rest of the Bible from there to find out the path that humankind have headed down ever since, and how we so desperately need a saviour. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Satan asks a question that leads to sin and humankind falling away from God. From there, Adam and Eve very quickly put their masks on, trying to cover up their nakedness, trying to hide from God, trying to hide from God himself when, you know, we can't do that. God knows where we are. But I would say that if you, like Adam and Eve, are feeling ashamed or guilty for things you've done wrong, do go in prayer to the foot of the cross today. The promises in the Bible are true. Jesus has broken the power of sin and death. There is a new start for everyone who puts their trust in him. Go to Jesus today. Let me say a really short prayer for you right now if you are struggling with shame or guilt. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the power of the cross. Thank you that all who trust in you are saved from the power and penalty of sin, which has been paid by Jesus in his sinless sacrifice for us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit at work in our lives, the sign of adoption, the sign that we are adopted into your family. For all who need it, Lord, please grant us a fresh assurance of your Holy Spirit's work in our lives today. Lord, where we've sinned, may we be sorry, but may you please then help us move on. Thank you that guilt and shame are not from you and have no place in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like to indeed pray with someone about these things, please do. It sometimes helps to do that. I'm really encouraging people at the moment, especially as we're in this new lockdown, to pick up the phone, connect with someone on Zoom, write a letter, go for a walk with that one person you're allowed to do it with that day. Pray together. Pray together. Let's be family to one another at this time. So the first question in the Bible is from Satan, and it's a deceitful question. The first question from God comes in verse 9, when he says, "Where are you?" And this is a discipleship question. It's a helpful one to ask ourselves and each other. I heard of a t-shirt that said, January, February, lockdown, December. It's not been an easy year, has it? And there's still a month of it left. How are you doing? How are you really? When Adam was asked where he was or how he was, you know, he wasn't from Yorkshire. He didn't just pretend he was fine. And God asked him some follow-up questions too that helped him and Eve realise where they were at. God looks on the heart. He knows where we're at. We've got to stop pretending with him, primarily, but also with the people he's put in our lives. I think we wear masks far too often. Not face masks, the invisible masks, that I'm fine, how are you? I think we do it far too much in church life. We're terrible at it. We're terrible at being authentic at times. But also on social media, these people who post about their perfect lives, how everything's funny and wonderful, they don't tend to show the frustrations they have, their addictions. They don't tend to talk about how their mental health is suffering unless it's a plea for help. Or the temper tantrums in their homes, how their relationships are breaking down, how they're struggling financially. No good can come from pretending all is well when it's not. We all need to unmask with appropriate people that God may meet with us, that we may receive the help that we need. How are you really doing in your own soul? How are you really doing at the core of who you are in your walk with Jesus? Do you have one? Where are you walking with him? Perhaps you feel like you're walking backwards or standing still. Let's talk. Please contact me if you would like to have some of these conversations or learn how to have them with appropriate people. We really do need to be real with one another. We really do need to be looking out for one another. That goes beyond, how are you doing? I'm fine, thanks, how are you? All right then, I'll move on to the next person. Things went very badly wrong for Adam and Eve, and all of us are affected by the broken and sinful world that we are born into. But one thing that really comes up in the interview from today, it's a bit late, it was meant to be part of the Frontline series, but one thing that really comes up for me in that is that we need to be authentic on our front lines. Inviting someone to live in your home, you can't pretend all the time that you're something you're not, but you can model a life that chooses to follow Jesus, come whatever may happen. And we really do need to be authentic with the people God puts in our lives. Otherwise, we can't be effective on our front lines. And when we do show people appropriately how we really are, that's actually an invitation for God's power, God's kingdom purposes to come into our situations. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul? Therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses, so Christ's power may rest on me. The sooner we realise we are not God, the sooner we stop pretending that we are like him, for those who do, the more free we will be to follow him, the greater the opportunities for his power to rest on us and to work in our lives in ways that will blow our minds. So, mask on. Let's stay safe and keep others safe. Mask off. Let's be real for the glory of God. He already knows where we are, so let's stop pretending. But please do hold your face mask or look at it if you've got it near you. We're going to use a face mask prayer that went in the pastoral letter on Friday. If, like me, you might respect and understand the science of wearing them, yet at the same time, it just still feels a little bit alien and, you know, impersonal, may these words of this prayer bless you. And if you've got the pastoral letter, maybe print it out, maybe cut round it so that you can put this near your face mask and remember that you can be a blessing even if you're wearing it. Let's pray. Creator, as I prepare to go into the world, help me to see the sacrament in the wearing of this cloth. Let it be an outward sign of an inward grace, a tangible and visible way of living love for my neighbours, as I love myself. Christ, since my lips will be covered, uncover my heart, that people would see my smile in the crinkles around my eyes. Since my voice will be muffled, help me to speak clearly, not only with my words, but with my actions. Holy Spirit, as the elastic touches my ears, remind me to listen carefully and full of care to all those I meet. May this simple piece of cloth be shield and banner, and each breath that it holds be filled with your love. In your name and in that love, I pray. May it be so. May it be so. Amen. So here are some takeaways from this message. I really want to recommend Santorini Bar and Grill in Headingley and Dino's on Queenswood Drive. I think they are two great takeaways. And it's wonderful that takeaways are still open in this time of lockdown. But on a serious note, here are some real serious takeaways that will help us and other people no end spiritually. One, remember that your face mask is a means of grace. Stay safe with it. But the second point is, take the invisible mask off. Be real with God and those you trust. This is how we can share and receive the love of Jesus, and this is how we can become more like him, even during this challenging time of lockdown. Mask on, mask off. God bless you all this week.
Oh, Jesus Christ of burning, cleansing flame, your precious blood, Lord, give today we claim. Down and see this waiting host, send us the promised Holy Ghost. Oh, how we long to see another Pentecost. God of Elijah, hear our spirit's cry, to make us fit for you to live or die. Bring the light and glory in. Oh, let the glorious revolution
Climb mountains if the mountains were where you hide. Oh, how far would I scale valleys if you graced the other side? Oh, how long have I chased rivers from lowly seas to where they rise against the rush of grace descending from the source of its supply. 'Cause in the highlands and the heartache, you'll need the moral less inclined. I would search and stop at nothing. You're just not that hard to find. You on the mountain, I will praise you when the mountain's in my way. You're the sun. retrace my steps through all my failure. Walk me out the other side. For who could dare ascend that mountain, that valley hill called Calvary? But for the one I call Good Shepherd, who like a
for everyone who has taken part in the service this morning.
Thank you for all the encouragement it has given us to follow Jesus wherever he has placed us.
Let's pause and take a moment to remember what God has spoken to each one of us.
So wherever you are this week, whatever you are doing, and whoever you are with,
we want to pray a blessing on you.
So let's pray a blessing taken from St. Patrick.
Christ be with you, Christ within you, Christ beside you, Christ before you.
Christ beside you, Christ to win you, Christ to comfort and restore you.
Christ beneath you, Christ above you, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger.
Christ in the hearts of all that love you, Christ in the mouth of friend and stranger.
Amen.
Please do join in the Zoom rooms after church. Bye for now.
Nothing can separate